I'd like to read four passages of scripture. The first is in Luke's Gospel in chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 1. And he entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man by name called Zacchaeus, and he was chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the crowd, because he was little in stature. And running on before, he got up into a sycamore, that he might see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when he came up to the place, Jesus looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must remain in thy house. And he made haste and came down, and received him with joy. And all murmured when they saw it, saying, He has turned into lodged with a sinful man. But Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I return him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, inasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 16 and verse 23. Acts 16 and verse 23. It's about Paul and Silas who had been preaching the gospel. And it says, And having laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, cast them into the inner prison and secured their feet to the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, in praying, were praising God with singing, and the prisoners listened to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison shook, and all the doors were immediately opened, and the bonds of all loosed. And the jailer, being awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the doors of the prison opened, having drawn a sword, was going to kill himself, thinking the prisoners had fled. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And having asked for lights, he rushed in, and trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and leading them out, said, Sirs, what must I do, that I may be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. And they spoke to him the word of the Lord with all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed them from their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And having brought them into his house, he laid the table for them and rejoiced with all his house, having believed in God. Mark's Gospel next, please. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And verse 46, Mark 10 and verse 46. And they come to Jericho, and as he was going out from Jericho, and his disciples and a large crowd, the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, the blind man, sat by the wayside begging. And having heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and to say, O son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him that he might be silent. But he cried so much the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, standing still, desired him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good courage, rise up, he calls thee. And throwing away his garment, he started up and came to Jesus. And Jesus answering says to him, What wilt thou that I shall do to thee? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Go, thy faith has healed thee. And he saw immediately and followed him in the way. Lastly, I'd like to go back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. We'll just read verse 33 to start with. Luke 23 and verse 33. And when they came to the place which is called Skull, there they crucified him, that's Jesus, and the malefactors, one of them on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Verse 39. Now one of the malefactors who had been hanged spoke insultingly to him, saying, Art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou, too, not fear God, thou that art under the same judgment? And we indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of what we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Verily, I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I just want to speak about these four people that we've read about in these different scriptures. And I want to use them to ask you four questions. The first is, who is he? The second is, do you need him? The third is it urgent? And the fourth is, will you fully surrender yourself to him? We hear in this first section in Luke 19 that there was this man Zacchaeus, and he wanted to see Jesus, who he was. Well, that was a good start, wasn't it? To want to find out who Jesus is. I suppose he'd heard something about him. I suppose he might have even been somewhere where Jesus was. He might have heard some of the things that he'd said. I don't know. We're not told. But anyway, he got to this point where he really wanted to see for himself who Jesus was. What about you, dear friend? Do you want to know who Jesus is? He is indeed the Son of God. He's the one who's come into this world. He's the one whom God has sent. We know that he's God's Son. The scripture tells us that God, words that God said, this is my beloved Son. He's the Son of God. And yet he came here into this world. And he came in here as Son of Man in order to draw near to you and near to me. He became like us. Think of that, you know. God himself coming down in the person of his Son in order to draw near to you and to me. I can hardly take it in that we have a God who would want to draw so near to us. You think of the distance and gulf that stands in the way of God drawing near to me. You know, on the one hand, you've got God. You think of God's holiness. You think of God's righteousness. You think of all that God is. You think of how he hates evil and he hates wickedness. And then on the other side, you've got me and you, and you think of what we are. We don't have to go far to find out what we are. We can find it in the scripture anyway. Scripture tells us that we are sinners. Scripture tells us that we're those who are deceitfully wicked. That's what our hearts are like. And that's the difference between God and me and you. That on the one hand, you've got God in his holiness and his righteousness. And you've got you and I, on the other hand, so far away from him because we're everything that is abhorrent to him. What a thing that is, you know, to think of that. How impossible it is for you or I to come to God. And I suppose, we don't know, but Zacchaeus, he might have thought he would like to find out who Jesus was. He might have thought he would like to understand something more of perhaps words that he'd heard or seen that the Lord Jesus, when he was here and walking here. Well, Jesus has come in. He's come in on your behalf. God sent his Son into this world. He came in order to deal with that distance that stood in the way between you and me and between a holy and a righteous God. He came in to remove that distance. How could he do that? He could only do that by offering himself for us, by offering up himself that you and I might be brought back to God. That's the one that we have to present in the gospel. The Saviour that we present to you tonight is the one who has removed that distance that has stood in the way. And he did it by going to the cross. He went that way of Calvary. He suffered at the hands of men. He was given a false trial, and men said, they didn't want Jesus. They said, away with him. We won't have him to reign over us. And yet he was prepared to come, and he was prepared to go that way of the cross. Men put him upon that cross. Wicked hands put him there. There he suffered for you and for I, and he bore our sins in his own body. He came that we might be forgiven. You think of it, you know, we've spoken of the distance and the separation that there was between God and men. And the Lord Jesus came in order that it might be removed, because he took upon himself the sin that should have been ours to bear. And when he went to the cross there, he shed his precious blood, the offering that covers your sins and mine. Scripture tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Well, this is the man that Zacchaeus wanted to see. And I wonder if you tonight have got a desire to find out who he is. Who is this man? This is the one that Zacchaeus wanted to see. He was a little man and he thought he wouldn't see above the crowd, I suppose. So he took the steps that were available to him and he climbed up into a tree so he could look down and see Jesus. He might have thought Jesus wouldn't see him. Oh, dear friend, Jesus saw him, and Jesus sees you. He sees you here tonight. He knows your heart. He knows what you are thinking. He knows if you've a desire to find out who he is and to know more about him. Or what do you think you're going to do as you hear about Jesus tonight? Are you going to desire to know more about him? Or are you going to turn your back upon the one who has come and has covered your sins by dying and suffering at the hands of men and shedding his precious blood? Well, Zacchaeus, I don't want to go into it too much because I'll be too long, but Jesus stopped, he looks up, he sees Zacchaeus, and he tells him to come down. He says, make haste and come down, and I'm coming to your house. Well, what would you think if Jesus said to you tonight, I'm coming to your house? I wonder how we'd react to that. But anyway, Jesus said, I'm coming to your house. And immediately, you know, Zacchaeus starts to think, I think, about things that he's done. I'm not sure whether he had in fact been always righteous and done all the right things or not, but there must have been some reason why he immediately starts to talk about, well, I've given half of my goods to the poor and I've given back anything I've taken by false accusations. I think there was something, you know, that weighed upon his heart that he thought, well, if Jesus is coming into my house, if I'm going to be in his presence, I need to get these things clear that I'm not really very happy about. And he tells Jesus about these things, but Jesus says to him, today salvation is come to this house, and today salvation is come here to you if you'll only put your faith and trust in the Saviour. So do you want to know who he is? I hope you do. Do you need him? That's my next question. I go on to Acts 16. There we read about the jailer, and we read about Paul and Silas being put into prison. And we find that they're put into prison and they're put into the most secure part of the prison. They're cast into the inner prison and secured, their feet secured to the stocks. And yet, you know, Paul and Silas knew the Saviour and they knew Jesus. And it didn't really matter to them that they were in this dire situation. They were still able to give thanks and praise the Saviour. And they did that in song. That's because they knew who Jesus was. If you know who Jesus is, if you come to him, your heart too will be filled with praise. But I just want to speak about this jailer when I'm speaking about this question of do you need him? The jailer, you know, he put them into this inner prison, he secured their feet, and then he went to bed and he went to sleep. I suppose he thought he'd done everything that he needed to do and he thought everything would be all right. They were there, they were as secure as he could make them. He'd done his job and off he went and he went to sleep. Well, he was awakened, wasn't he? And the gospel goes out that you might be awakened and that you might realize your need of the Saviour. He went, as I say, he thought that he'd done all that he needed to do, but he hadn't done all that he needed to do. because he hadn't himself trusted in the Saviour, because that was the only way he could secure his salvation. When he was woken in the night, he realised straight away, when he thought that the prisoners had all fled, that his life was in jeopardy. It was likely, you know, that he would have been killed for having let the prisoners escape. But then Paul and Silas were there, and there was something that held the prisoners. It wasn't the bonds. Paul and Silas were there, and they speak out and they tell him that he needn't be afraid because they're all there. So although he thought he'd done everything he could, how hopeless it was, the precautions that he had taken. And if you think you can take your own precautions in order to be safe and secure your own salvation, then I have to tell you that you cannot do it. It's not possible to secure your own salvation. As I say, I won't spend too much time. I just want to stress this question of, do you need him? Well, he came to it that he had, that here was Paul and Silas. They had something which he didn't have, and he realized that he could perhaps atone in some way for what he had done in putting them into the inner prison, and he takes them into his house and he washes their stripes. But you know, the word that touched his heart was that he should believe on the Lord Jesus and that he could be saved. And you know, I just want to draw attention to the fact that he accepted that message. He accepted the opportunity of coming to the Saviour and trusting in him. And it says that he rejoiced with all his house, having believed in God. You know, I reckon when he went to sleep the next night, he didn't think, have I done everything I can? He knew he'd done everything he could. He knew that his salvation was secure. He knew that he trusted in the Saviour. He wouldn't have been rudely awakened that night. Anything that happened that might have woken him up, he would have still had peace, because he knew that he trusted in the Saviour. He'd found that he did have a need of the Saviour. Or do you have that sense of having a need of the Saviour? That's what I would just desire to draw out from this section. He thought he could do everything. He thought he could use the locks and the doors and all these things, and everything would be all right. He'd made the provision. But you know, he hadn't made provision for the securing of his own salvation, for his soul to be saved. He only was able to do that by coming to the Saviour and putting his trust in him. I then raise this question, is it urgent? And I go on to the blind man in Mark 10. They come out of Jericho and they are in a large crowd, and there's this man, Timaeus, the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, sitting by the wayside begging, and he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene who was passing by. Here was someone else, I think, who already had heard something about Jesus. He knew something of his reputation. He knew perhaps that he'd done acts of healing and that those who were blind had been made well and were able to see. But anyway, he had a sense of the urgency of the moment, and he cries out, O Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. What a cry it was, and what a cry, how necessary a cry it is. Everyone who doesn't know the Saviour needs to realise tonight that they need to have the urgency to cry out, Oh Jesus, to Jesus, that he might have mercy on them. He will have mercy. He won't turn away from any who call upon him. The people around him thought, you know, he should be quiet. I wanted him to be silent. They didn't want him to keep shouting out. But the more they asked him to be quiet, the more he shouted out, Son of David, have mercy on me. The Lord comes past. He stands still. The Lord would stand still tonight to hear your cry, if only you will call out to him in a sense of need, in a sense of the urgency of the moment. The moment is passing. There will become a time when it is too late and you won't be able to come to the Saviour, because the door of mercy will be closed. But it's not too late now. You can come to Jesus today. I can't promise you the rest of today. I can't promise you tomorrow. But you can come to Jesus now if you feel the urgency of the word and the need to have your sins forgiven in order to be able to come into the presence of a holy and righteous God. So he cries out. Jesus comes past. He stands still. He says, "Be of good courage. Rise up." The people said, "Be of good courage, rise up, he calls thee." And it says, "And throwing away his garment, he started up and came to Jesus." Well, may you get rid of anything that would hinder you in coming to Jesus. And may you come to Jesus and seek that he may meet your need as you put your faith and trust in him. "What wilt thou that I shall do to thee?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may see." Jesus said to him, "Go, thy faith has healed thee." And he saw immediately and followed him in the way. He did get healing from his blindness, there's no doubt about that. But I think he got something more than that. He's told that his faith has healed him. And it says he saw immediately. That was wonderful. But then it says he followed him in the way. He realized that in order that he might get the full blessing, not only was it right that he should be able to have his sight restored and that he should see Jesus, who he was. That's what Zacchaeus desired in the first passage that we read. He saw Jesus, but then he followed him in the way. That's what the Lord is looking for. He's looking for an answer from your heart and mine. If we've put our faith and trust in him, he wants us to follow him. He wants us to be here as those that love him and would seek to follow him in order that he might be with us all the days until he comes again and will take us to be with himself. Well, I just finally read about the thief on the cross. What a wonderful scripture that is, isn't it? In Luke 23. And I just want to draw out this thought that the thief on the cross fully surrendered himself to Jesus. He didn't, perhaps, I don't know how fully he understood the blessing that was open to him. He realized that he himself was worthy of death. You and I, you know, that's what we are worthy of because of our sin, because we're away from God. The thief on the cross, he realized that that's all he was worthy of. But there was one there that was with him in that awful situation, one who was not worthy of death, one who had done nothing to be deserving of being put to death, and yet one who was prepared to go that way of Calvary and to suffer at the hands of men and to die in order that you and I might be saved. What did he see that caused him just to recognize and realize that there was the one who could take his sins away? There was the one who could forgive him for all that he had done. Or, you know, to have a sense of that, that there's one who's able to forgive you for anything that you have done in order that you might be saved. Well, he had a sense of it. I don't know that I can say too much about it, but he certainly had a sense of what it was to know the one who was able to forgive his sins, the one who had said those words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Those who put the Lord upon the cross, those who had no cause to put him there. And yet Jesus could say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Here was the one that was beside this thief upon the cross, the malefactor, it says, I know. And he says, "We receive the just recompense of what we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said to him, to Jesus, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom." I think, you know, he completely surrendered himself in that moment to the will of the Lord. Have you surrendered yourself to Jesus? Have you come to the point where you realize there's nothing you can do? There's nothing in yourself that can earn your salvation. All you can do is come to Jesus and fully surrender yourself to him. Well, I just hope that these thoughts might just stir your hearts to realize that there's an opportunity tonight. If you have a desire to know who Jesus is, if you recognize your need of him, and you take the opportunity now before it's too late, you seize the urgency of the moment and you fully give yourself to him. You tell him that you want to put your faith and trust in him as one who has been a sinner but knows that you found the Saviour. That's what these ones did that we've read about. They found the Saviour. They put their trust in him. They found what the blessing of having their sins forgiven, and they were saved. We can only be saved by faith, you know. We can only be saved by putting our faith and trust in the Saviour. Well, may that be the portion of everyone here tonight, for his name's sake.
Amen.